This is Patrick Donahue of the Bible Crossfire radio program. A recent caller to this program used John 3:16 to try to prove a sinner doesn't have to be baptized to be saved. He reasoned that since the verse talks about what a sinner has to do to be saved, and it doesn't mention baptism, therefore baptism must not be necessary to salvation. But the caller himself must have realized his inconsistency when I asked him if a sinner has to repent in order to be saved. He answered yes. But John 3:16 doesn't mention repentance either. Why does the verse rule out baptism but not rule out repentance by the same logic, since neither repentance nor baptism are mentioned in the verse? We all ought to be able to see that our friend's argument is unsound. If the argument were sound, it would also rule out repentance as being necessary, since John 3:16 does not mention repentance. And by the same logic, Acts 2:38 would rule out faith as being necessary because it talks about what a person has to do to be saved from his sins and doesn't mention faith as being necessary. Here's how Acts 2:38 reads. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Surely no one believes a sinner can be saved without belief just because Acts 2:38 talks about what a person has to do to be saved, and it doesn't mention belief. Now, since the Bible never tells us everything a sinner has to do to be saved all in one verse, how should we approach all the passages that talk about what a sinner has to do to be saved? Should we just pick out one verse we like and run with that? Or should we take all the verses on salvation, everything God has said we must do to be saved? How about let's use the account of the rich young ruler as a test case? Mark 10:17 through 22 says the man was rich. Matthew 19:22 says he was rich and young. Luke 18 verses 18 and 23 says he was rich and a ruler. Now if we just take the intersection of the adjectives describing the man, that is what they all have in common, we could only conclude that he was rich. But if we take the union, everything said, we correctly conclude he was a rich young ruler, correct? Now, let's apply the same reasoning to the salvation passages. John 3:16 only mentions belief as being required for salvation. Acts 11:18 only says repentance is required. Acts 22:16 and 1 Peter 3:21 both only show baptism is necessary to salvation. Mark 16:16 makes our salvation contingent upon belief and baptism. Romans 10:10 requires belief and confession. Acts 2:38, as we've already mentioned, conditions forgiveness upon our repentance and baptism. So in answering the question, what must I do to be saved, Acts 16, verse 30, should we take the intersection, what they all have in common, or should we take the union of the conditions stated in the verses listed in the salvation passages, that is, everything that is said? Well, what do we do in the case of the rich young ruler? And if we did take the intersection of the conditions stated, what would it be? Nothing, right? But if we take the union, that is, everything said of the conditions in the salvation passages, what do we come up with? Belief, repentance, confession, and baptism, right? There isn't just one passage that tells us everything about Jesus' death. We learn the whole story from taking all of what the Bible says on the matter. It is the same with what a sinner must do to be saved. We must take all God says on the topic. A sinner has to believe in Jesus, John 8:24. Repent of his sins, Acts 2:38, and be baptized, Mark 16:16, in order to be saved. There is no inconsistency whatsoever. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God."